Welcome back into the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your co-host, Corey Kinnon, bringing you in for this Thursday edition of the show. Again, we, as we did last week on Thursday, we're going to create a prospect. Last week, we did wide receivers using a different trait from multiple different draft eligible prospects in this class to create our Frankenstein prospect. So think Calvin Johnson. That's your Frankenstein wide receiver. That's what we did last week. Think running backs. You know, maybe that's a discussion we can have. I think I have a pretty good one who plays, who's played his professional career in Cleveland. But before we dive into building our ideal prospect, our ideal running back, Dalton, come on in, join the show. How are you?
I am fantastic. This was a tough one. Honestly, this was a tough one because we're early on. We wanted to put pass pro in there, but I don't think I have the facilities to grade enough of these guys' pass pro ability to give a good Frankenstein for that. So that will be something that happens later. You know, right now I'm going through, I'm watching all the rushing attempts, I'm watching some of the catching stuff, but I'm not sifting through all these running backs' pass protection at this point. So we're going to go with physical traits. We're going to go with what we see on tape from these guys when they run the football or when they are receiving the football. So no pass pro for all of you pass pro junkies out there in this one.
And another ground rule that we've set is it has to be a player that we've watched. Like, we can't pull out some guy we played with in NCAA 25 or like that we looked online and saw that he had good receiving stats. Like,
exactly.
It has to be a player that we know who they are. Like, people know who they are. We've watched them personally. Like, it's not going to be the Texas State running back I burn people with on wheel routes in CFB 25. It's just not going to be. So that's another ground rule that we've kind of set. Again, we've broken it down into multiple categories. So we got contact balance, we got vision, we have explosiveness, we have ability or not agility slash change of direction and receiving ability. It's kind of how we're going to break this down. So Dalton, let's start with contact balance and I'll let you go first with who you chose for contact balance and why.
I'm going to throw this out there. I think if you haven't picked this person for contact balance, you're a silly goose.
I think we probably have the same person then.
yes, he plays on the East Coast.
Yep.
He is in baby blue.
Yep.
Or they call it Carolina blue. It's Omarion Hampton. The dude is just a bowling ball. He reminds me a little bit, and I think I said this on the Running Back podcast, he does remind me a little bit of Javonte Williams, just a rocked up, you know, 6 foot, 220 pound dude who is just incredibly hard to bring down on first contact. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that he's a bowling ball, but it's his ability to break through arm tackles, to really shed guys, to kind of, you know, even throw hump moves to get them off of him. And he is a very, and part of this, I'm going to go back to a little bit of a story here. When I was playing high school football, we had a running back who was a sophomore at the time I was a senior. He was not a very big dude. He was probably 5'10", 5'11", 170 pounds. But he was so explosive that when he hit you in the hole, it hurt. He wasn't a big dude, but it hurt because he was that explosive. And that's kind of what somebody like Hampton reminds me of. Somebody who is just so explosive in the hole that you don't really want to meet him there. And so for that, because of all of the tackles that he broke last year and all of the tackles he's already breaking this year, he's the top guy for me there.
Yeah, I went in that direction as well. I wanted to get cute because I really wanted to include Rutgers' Kyle Manunga guy. Like, I think he's such a fun running back. And like, if I was going to do it, it was going to be contact balance. But like, I can't, you can't not choose Omarion Hampton for this. Over the past 2 years, he's averaging 4.5 yards after contact per carry. Like, that's a ridiculous amount of yards after contact. He has 416 yards rushing this year and 310 of them have gone after contact. Like, he's impossible to bring down on first contact. He's missed, he's forced 12 missed tackles or 20 missed tackles already. I'm sorry. In week one against Minnesota alone, he forced 12 missed tackles. Like, he's the quintessential bowling ball of this running back class. This is more of an NFL draft question than a build a prospect question, but does his amount of gap usage versus his limited zone scheme usage worry you about his translation to the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of has to, even, yeah. You know, especially when you
it's a Devontae at, thing, right? Yeah, yes, it's the same
when
thing
you look Javonte. At the Javonte thing, because even when you watch that offense specifically with Javonte on it and with Michael Carter on it, Carter was getting zone reps. Mm-hmm. They were running wide zone. They were running outside zone with Michael Carter. They were not running it with Javonte. And so, yes, it does a little bit. There are still teams that run a bunch of gap and not as much zone. And I think he can probably run inside zone. But, yeah, it's a lot of gap stuff for him. And so, yeah, it's a little bit easier for him to say, okay, I'm going to follow this hole. This is where I'm supposed to go. And it's not quite that simple, but it is not as free flowing as an outside zone scheme is. So yeah. It does worry me a little bit because of the Javonte thing. But I'm still going to bet on somebody that has that kind of contact balance and explosiveness too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm right there with you. I don't tend to be all in on like bowling ball running back styles. Like I want guys who can make guys miss in the open field. Cause that's the kind of stuff you're going to win with the NFL. I think more
yeah,
than
but that's
running
the thing.
Through.
I don't think that he's a one trick pony when it comes to broken tackles. I also think that he can make guys miss as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. All right. We're going to move on to vision. And for vision, this felt pretty easy to choose, but also pretty difficult because I felt like I could have used this running back on three or four of these different categories. And it's my running back one and the guy who has torched two different defenses. One and it was Oregon's defense. And so I think Ashton Giante is who I'm going to take for vision right here. And it's not only the patience and the vision to wait for an initial hole develop, but when he gets to the second level, his ability to even set up blocks at the second level or find green grass at the second level, the third level, when he's breaking away in the open field to cut back across the field, like he has such a good feel for where space is and how he fits into it. But again, I mean, he breaks a ton of tackles. He catches passes out of the backfield like crazy. So he could have fit into a couple of these things, but I think as far as vision is concerned, Ashton Giante is the best that I've seen in this class. And I think it's shown against teams like Oregon, against Oregon. I mean, I'm not going to give him so much. I mean, I'm going to give him credit against Georgia Southern because he rushed for 300 and some yards and four touchdowns. But just what he did against Oregon is unbelievable with his ability to find cuts at the second, at the third, in open space, not only at that first level to find a hole. Like, I think when we're evaluating running backs, we tend to stop there. Like, oh, he found the hole. That's a solid rep. But like, no, like once he got to the second level, did he find a cut? Once he got to the third level, did he find green grass? Like, and I think Giante does that so well.
Yeah, so this was a tough one for me because of the kind of what you just talked about there. I almost had Giante at another one, but then I changed it to this one because I do think when we're looking at what makes a running back tick, I do think that vision is probably the most important thing that a guy has. It is kind of innate at the end of the day. And I thought about Ollie Gordon here, and I thought about him because of what you talked about with the second and the third level. Specifically, when he is at the first level, his ability to manipulate second level defenders. My problem with Gordon is that there is still a lot of freestyle with him as well in the, like, Saquon mold. And it makes for hilarious television, and he makes guys miss like crazy. But I couldn't pick him for vision because I do think when you were looking at it in its totality, first, second, and third level, Giante and his consistency with it is pretty unbeatable in this class.
Yeah, I like to refer back to like when I did my What to Watch For When Scouting series over the summer, and I had Jordan Reed on to talk about running backs, and he's like, listen, man, you can be a 4.3 running back, but if it takes you 0.2 seconds to find a hole, you're a 4.5 running back. And if you're a 4.5 running back who has really good eyes, you're a 4.5 running back. So like Blake Corum is a perfect example of this. Blake Corum didn't test, and probably for good reason, but like Blake Corum has unbelievably quick eyes to figure out where he's going on the football field. And that's why he got drafted in the third round. And
he's an absolute dog.
Yes. Yes. Even though he probably runs a 4.58, maybe a 4.6. Like he's not an explosive play. Like, I mean, he's explosive, like first step wise, but like, he doesn't have long speed. He doesn't have the explosiveness of some of these other dudes, but he can process what is happening in front of him unbelievably quickly. And so he's a 4-5 running back. The same way, you know, some of these explosive guys you draft because they're fast, but then they get to the NFL level and they can't produce because they can't figure out where they're going with the football. They don't know what the pathway, like where, what their track is, and it's ugly. And so I think Jantzy is the one to go there. So do you want to knock off with explosiveness first here?
Yes, we will go explosiveness first here. And I got to give a shout out to my buddy Sean, who is a huge Kansas fan. I'm going with Devin Neal here.
I do love Devin Neal. I have him somewhere else, actually.
And I'm going with Devin Neal here because when you look at it this year so far, he is in the top five, ranked fifth in breakaway runs, 15+. And last year, he was also very high on the list as it loads up here. I will tell you how high he was in a second. But he's got that big playability. And when we look at explosiveness in running backs, like you can look at a guy who runs a 4.2, but he might not be able to put it all together for those breakaway runs. And Devin Neal was fifth last year with 22 of them. Now, the leader last year was Oklahoma State's Ollie Gordon, who, again, good football player. You will hear his name here in a second. But Devin Neal, I think you said it well. There's a difference between like being a great prospect or being even a good prospect and being a fun prospect. And I think Devin Neal is in that fun prospect mold where you're probably looking at, you know, a little bit outside of the top 100 at the end of the day for him. Maybe he comes into the top 100, especially in a class like this. But I think in a normal class, you're probably looking at him being the day three guy who you absolutely adore and you want to stand on the table for. But just a fun player overall for that Kansas offense.
Yeah, he'll make an appearance here for me pretty shortly. But I love, like, he is my mid-round running back in this class. Mm-hmm. Like, I love me some Devin Neal. I took it in a different direction, and this player has had a down start to the season so far, despite the fact that his team is actually becoming kind of like a cult favorite on Twitter. And they've got a pretty big game this weekend against a team that's really struggling that they could really put themselves on the map. But I'm going to go Jaden Ott. And Jaden Ott is struggling this year. Like, his last game, he had 11 carries for 10 yards. Like, he's not off to a great season at Cal, but a year ago he had a fantastic season rushing for over 1,200 yards, had 15 breakaway plus 15 runs, 478 of his yards came in breakaway fashion. So, and he has legit 4.3 speed. And so when I'm looking at explosiveness, like, this guy hits green grass, good luck. This guy hits green grass, good luck. And so who knows if he ends up declaring, because again, the production just isn't there this year. And he isn't a guy who's going to break a lot of yards after contact. And so I'm not sure if he's going to be a round two, round three guy, and maybe back end of round three into round four. But as far as being an explosive runner, Jaden Ott, when he hits green grass, it's good as gone. And so I'm going to take Jaden Ott right here. Just looking back at some of his 2023 games, you know, Arizona State, 165 yards, USC, 153, Washington State, 160, Stanford, 166. And these are against like Pac-12 opponents. Oregon State, 84 on 13 carries. So like, he tended to do the best against the competition that needed him to do the most. And so he's lightning fast, lightning explosive when he can get in the open field.
Hardy fiber cement siding handles conditions that can cause damage to vinyl. From fire to hail, Hardy siding stands tall through it all, helping trade professionals look their best when they recommend Hardy siding and trim. See the proof at jameshardy.com.
Agility. Who's your guy?
Yeah, this is where I'm going to bring up Devin Neal. This is where I'm going to bring up Devin Neal. Yeah, so Devin Neal is so fluid, man. He is so fluid to make people miss. And in a phone booth, too. So, like, if there's a defender in his face as soon as he takes the handoff out, like, I feel good about him making that man miss in a phone booth and at least getting back to, like, breaking even. I love Devin Neal so much. He's unbelievable. He's got 13 missed tackles, forced missed tackles already, and he's not running through guys. Like, that's not his game. He's got six in the past two games each. one against Illinois, who has a really good defensive front. That Illinois defense has been like a staple good defense over the past couple of years. And so Devin Neal's ability to get lateral, to make a move in the open field. And that's why he has so many breakaway runs, right? Is because he has the ability to make guys miss and then find green grass. So he's explosive, but man, he's just as agile as he is explosive, in my opinion. So I'm going to go Devin Neal with that one.
Yeah. This is where I bring up Ollie Gordon. Ollie Gordon, for his size specifically, being a 6'1", 6'2" back who looks a little bit linear and might be a little bit linear in a sense, the way that he sets up defenders in the open field is outrageous. His ability to make guys miss, to have those big plays. And listen, Oklahoma State's offense, the running game, there are often quite big rushing lanes for him to run through. He is in a good situation in that rushing attack. But if there is a guy in front of him, I think 7 or 8 times out of 10, that guy might lay a pinky on him. And it's just his ability to set guys up. And like I said, to do that at 6'2". And I think it even might be less about his natural ability to move and more about just that innate ability to manipulate defenders and really set them up for failure. I think it's what he does best. So for me, it might be less of a, you know, explosive agility type with him, but at his size, I do think that there's like, when you think about the ability to, like as a defender in basketball that is long, the ability to just cover space, I feel like he has that ability to cover space when he is moving horizontally to make guys miss where they think he's going to be somewhere, but he can get so wide with those long legs that they just miss. They just don't take the angle that you have to with a guy with legs like that. So for me, I had to go with Ollie Gordon in one of these because I'm an Ollie Gordon stan. And this was the one that I ended up going with him with.
Yeah. I don't have Ollie Gordon on here, and I tried to fit him in somewhere, but I just couldn't. What do you make of like his slow start to the season so far? He's averaging half the amount of yards he averaged a year ago so far. Even against like South Dakota State and Tulsa, he's averaging 3.9, 2.4 yards per carry.
Yeah, I mean, part of it comes down to the blocking hasn't been quite as good on that offense right now. I do think he's done a decent job of making guys miss still. I do think the problem is the breakaway runs are not coming. And I don't think that the contact balance, because he is a little bit more upright, is perfect. And so when you don't have the rushing lanes that you were used to having last year, and then you also don't have the best contact balance, you're going to go down quicker. Like, I don't think that he's a guy who is going to break a ton of tackles. And that's why I didn't bring his name up in contact balance at all.
Which is so odd for being 6'2", 225.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 225, but a
little. But I guess like, if your center of gravity is that high, yeah.
Yeah, and more like a little bit like Saquon, even though Saquon has the thighs the size of, you know, the biggest lampshade you've ever seen, he is a finesse player. And Ollie Gordon, despite being 225 pounds, is more of a finesse player. And so, yeah, that's part of the slow start. The looks aren't as clean so far this year, and the contact balance hasn't been there. He's still making guys miss. I think he's still, you know, right around the top 10 in being able to force missed tackles. He just doesn't have the runways to then break away and make the big plays like he was able to last year so far. I think as long as under 20 yards, as long as 12 yards.
Yep.
As long as for the year is 12 yards.
Yep. Yep. He did force 13 missed tackles in the South Dakota State game, the first game of the year, though. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's absurd. All right. Well, I think we're on to the last one here, which is receiving ability. And Dalton, I went first last time. So who are you choosing for receiving ability?
This was the toughest one for me.
It is. It was so tough. Yeah.
It's so tough. First of all, because GT led all of college football in the FBS in receiving yards last year. So, again, could have thrown him in there. And just didn't because I needed to use him for vision. I went with somebody who played a little bit last year because he had to. He came in after an injury to a
I think we have the same guy here too.
Do we really?
I think we do.
There's no way.
I think we do.
I didn't think anybody was thinking of Texas running back Jaden Blue.
That's who I have down.
You know, this is why we can't do a podcast together, Corey, because we the great minds or feeble ones are thinking alike here. No, Jaden Blue, somebody who I don't think, like, when you look at mock draft simulators, you're not seeing his name pop up a bunch. But somebody who really flashed when he came into play last year. And somebody who can catch the ball out of the backfield and has been pretty efficient at it overall. Now, the targets aren't very deep. Like, he's not lining up at wide receiver. But, like, we don't see a lot of college guys line up, like, as legitimate slots and become weapons at wide receiver. But he's somebody who out of the backfield is more than efficient in the targets that he gets. And in that offense, that Steve Sarkisian offense, he should have plenty of opportunities to continue to catch passes as well.
Yeah, he's had six targets the first two games. So, and including this past game against Michigan, he went 6 for 6. He didn't play against UTSA. So he went 6 for 6 on his targets for 37 yards and a touchdown out of the backfield. And if you look at his alignment percentage as well, on 20% of the pass plays that he's coming in on, he's lining up in the slot. So I think that gives them some added versatility as well to, you know, whether it's like a bunch set or something like that, to give him a runway on some screen plays as well.
Yeah.
To get out in some space there too. So that's really shocking that we both went with Jaden Blue right here. And again, if he declares or not, we'll see. He doesn't get a lot of run as an actual runner, so he's probably going to come back for his senior year. But he is draft eligible, and we have spent a lot of time watching Texas offense, whether that's between Quinn Ewers or Cam Williams or Kelvin Banks. We've talked a lot about the Texas offense. So he met the criteria of what we were allowed to use in this case.
Yeah.
So we both did go with Jaden Blue as our receiving back for our
we were only different in agility and explosiveness,
and I had your explosiveness for my agility.
So four of our five guys are the same, but
Dan, this is gonna be a boring podcast, sorry guys.
Well, I mean, listen, I just, we need to bring it up. We don't talk about this beforehand, so like we talk about it, but we don't talk about who is going to be where. And we don't bring up names. It's just like, oh, we need to pick here. We need to pick here. We need to do this. And so we don't know who each other has at all. Mm-hmm. And so this is quite annoying that we had the same here. but, you know, is what it is. I don't want to do quarterbacks yet.
I got to watch more with these guys. Right, I need like at least a 6-game sample size of these guys before I can make anything, any sort of definitive.
Yeah, I'm so done with them right now. So I think next, do you want to? I kind of want to watch tight ends, man.
Dude, I love me a good tight end.
And I kind of want to watch tight ends. And
next week could be the tight end week. Yeah,
And it's such a versatile position as well. There's so many alignments and usages for tight ends that I think we could have a lot of fun with that one. We're going to do that one next week. Let's do tight ends next week. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch a bunch of them this weekend.
I love tight ends. So I'm all in on that.
Awesome. So. Love it. That's it. That was our build a prospect. Running backs, five categories here. We had four of the same guys. It is what it is. We built our Frankenstein.
We built our Nick Chubbs.
Is there anybody? Let's like throw size out there real quick.
Ooh, size.
What is your like ideal size?
Oh, like 5'9", 210. Give me muscle hamsters, man. Muscle hamsters.
So I agree with that. My problem with 5'10 or 5'9", 5'8", 210 pounders.
You think they're stiff?
Well, no, not always stiff, but like the breakaway speed is usually not there with them because they just don't have the little legs to go. The Energizer Bunny can only go so fast. Yeah. I'm going to pick a different name here. I'm going to go with, if you have the athleticism to be this guy, it's awesome. But somebody like a Nick Singleton from Penn State, somebody who's like 5'11", 6 foot, 225,
okay,
like that old school prototype of running back, I still think could be the best if you have the athleticism for it. And again, that's kind of the problem, is they don't always have the athleticism for it. But if you have the explosiveness at that size, or like an Omarion Hampton, and then once you get to like 6'1 or 6'2, you're getting to be a little bit too tall.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. I prefer a muscle hamster all of the way, the entire way. But I'm going to go a little bit more prototypical overall.
So really, Ashton Janty is the Frankenstein running back for me. He's 5'9", 215, and he's got he checks every box.
So
I do have a good outlier though. Like Latavius Murray was one of my favorite running backs to watch for a while because he's legit like 6'4", 220 pounds. Like, and that's so really rare to see him running. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
To us, those guys are fun. Like, I like playing with them in college football 25. Like, if you recruit a guy who's 6'4".
Yeah,
220. It's like, oh, I love.
Yeah, I'm always recruiting just speedy backs who receivers. They're 180 pounds. All right, that's it. We got to stop rambling here. That's the end of the episode. Our Frankenstein running backs are here. This has been Daft on Draft, and we will see you tomorrow, where we are going to break down what is a really good college football slate. He's Corey Kinnon, or the fake Corey Kinnon. And I am Dalton Miller. Goodbye.